students, police, journalists, and at least one lecturer were injured during running battles at Wits yesterday. Among the injured were Wits International Relations lecturer David Hornby, News 24 journalist Lazika Tandwa, and ANN 7 television reporter Judith Daikanya. Wits medical students treated several injured protesters, amongst them former SRC President Msibo Dlamini. Numerous people inhaled tear gas. This has several organizations working to protect and advance rights to protest express concern over the violent clampdowns that fees must fall protests. The organization include the Equal Education Law Center, Freedom of Expression Institute, Lawyers for Human Rights, Right to Know Campaign, and the Social Justice Coalition. And this morning we welcome Executive Director of Equal Education Law Center, Nurina Ali. Nurina, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate you chatting to us. What are your biggest concerns with regards to the recent actions taken against students during the protest action?
I think the biggest concerns, unfortunately, echo the same concerns we had last year and throughout this year. What we see happening is that universities are clamping down on student protests by bringing on board massive amounts of police onto campus, along with private security, and effectively giving them free rein, no clear instructions, effectively banning all protest on campus, and police and private security have been given instructions, it seems, to immediately arrest, use rubber bullets, and use tear gun, stun grenades, to disperse students at the slightest indication of a gathering or any sort of protest developing, regardless of whether or not there's been any provocation by the students at all. And we've seen that now in the most intense form yesterday at Wits, and there's fears that that's going to continue at other universities as has been happening before.
Yes, this is really of great concern. How do you balance the freedom to protest while ensuring the safety of all during those protests, especially as there have been instances of lecturers and students forced from classes and cases of intimidation?
Yeah, I think it's important to place that in context as well. We should be careful of suggesting that the entire student movement or all of the protests have been characterized by those sorts of actions. That said, we do know that there have been some very unfortunate incidences of burning of university property, of libraries being burnt, and even if they're isolated and extreme, there has to be some sort of response to that. But importantly, the Constitution protects the right to peaceful protest, and we can't try and preempt the chilling of that protest action by telling police to clamp down and to arrest any students who have even begun to gather on campus. So the balance is when there is an unlawful action, there are procedures and there are remedies in law. Those are criminal processes, and in some instances those have been used, which students who have been directly involved, where there's clear evidence that they've been involved, have been arrested. So there are legal remedies. Universities have the ability to use them. Police can be brought into the situation when there's been those clear instances. But what we can't have is a situation where the entire university becomes a military zone in order to preempt those isolated incidences.
Now, do you believe the practice of universities to approach the courts for interdicts against students fueled the protest action, opened the door for police officers to, in essence, prevent students from protesting?
Definitely. And that is what we've seen last year as well. One of the difficulties is that the interdicts that the courts have granted, often in the absence of any student representation, has been exceptionally wide-ranging. We've seen court orders that ban all forms of disruption on campus and that effectively state that any students who want to protest can be, or at least that they'd be in violation of the court order. Universities have used this in order to bring police and private security onto campus, and sometimes have even the police have unlawfully arrested people on the basis that there's a violation of a court interdict, but there's no proof or evidence at all of that. So the interdicts are exceptionally wide-ranging, and they've also been abused in practice.
It is not only protesters that are targeted, but also journalists, and in this, private security play a major role. Do you believe there is really any case to be made by university on using private security, who in large parts have no training in handling protest action on campuses?
I think that the in cases where private security can be brought onto campus have to be very narrowly circumscribed, if at all. We should be concerned about police also being brought onto campus, but private security in particular do not have training in handling protest actions. Universities also have to be held accountable for the huge amount of money that's being spent on private security. And private security isn't held accountable either by the universities or by the government when they're on campus. We know at the University of Stellenbosch, for example, there were some very severe and extreme incidences of private security effectively using extreme force against students. And we haven't been able to see the or we haven't seen yet the university taking action in that respect. So in our view, the private security should not be used on campus to repress protest action. We know that the universities have campus control, have their own security, where they operate on a daily basis at the university, and they should be unarmed. To the extent that any use of force happens on campus, that should be very carefully controlled and should happen within the prescripts of the law.
How dangerous or volatile do you believe the situation at our universities are at the moment?
I think a lot depends on how all of the relevant stakeholders take things forward from here. It's the universities, the students, academics, as well as the government. We also know that there are very peculiar circumstances at each institution, which also needs to be addressed. Some universities, such as the University of Fort Hare, faces very different circumstances to that of UCT or to WITS. So we can't think about things in too blanket a manner. But that said, the demand or the call for free higher education and the debates that are happening around that are important and are historic. And that is actually an exciting moment. So a lot depends on how universities and government respond to that and allow for as constructive and meaningful engagement as possible. What we saw yesterday with BITS demonstrates that the approach of bringing mass police onto campus, of trying to simply clamp down and silence protesters through the use of force, is not going to be the effective resolution. If we continue in that road, if we continue along the road of trying to get interdict and chill freedom of expression and political expression, we are going to be in a very dangerous situation. But if we see more engagement and more attempts at mediation, then we might be in we might actually see progress, which could be very constructive for the future of the country.
Yeah, so we certainly hope that those calls will be heeded. Nurina, jazakumullah khair for your time this morning on Radio Islam.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salam.
That was Nurina Ali speaking to us about the concerns with regards to the way there has been a clampdown on students and the protesters at the various campuses, and in particular at WITS, and this has been of great concern undoubtedly.